thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
That will mean...
Here's John Williams.
Two big thoughts today. It's 208. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. Mary Roach's book is...
Lord have mercy.
Grunt. She'll say hi to us in about 25 minutes. We'll start this half hour visiting with a former WGN radio intern. His name is Stephen Brine. He is today... A member of Parliament. He's in the Conservative Party there. He's joined us before to talk about various issues, and he has a few minutes for us this afternoon, evening his time. Stephen, welcome to the show. I'm glad you were able to join us. How are you?
John, it's great to hear your voice. Welcome back to GN.
Yeah, exactly. I was here. I went away. I came back. You were here years ago. You went away. You ain't coming back. You are a member of Parliament, correct?
I am. Well, do you know what? Technically, British MPs currently don't exist. So Parliament has been dissolved for the British general election. And when Parliament's dissolved, we're not allowed in the building and we're not allowed to call ourselves MPs. So I am currently just merely the Conservative candidate for the constituency of Winchester in the south of England. And hopefully, God willing, I shall resume my job on Thursday, because the election here is on Thursday, which is probably why... And probably why some of the bad things are happening that are happening here, which I know you guys are watching and praying for so much stateside.
Yeah, do you think the timing and the targeting had to do with the election? And if so, what message were they sending to the likes of you?
I think partly. I mean, you will have been aware that at the end of March, we had that awful event at Westminster where somebody drove a car across Westminster Bridge towards Big Ben and took out some pedestrians on the bridge and then drove into Parliament. He then ran inside Parliament and sadly killed a police officer. That was, of course, before the election was called, before we knew the election was going to happen. And then we've had another one, which was obviously the awful events in Manchester at the Ariana Grande concert, which was a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, we had this weekend in London. And I do think that they are connected to the election. You know, the terrorists want to disrupt what we hold dear, everything we hold dear. And, of course, one of the things that we hold dear is our democracy, like you guys.
You know, I get that, and that's all that we can come up with, too, but that seems to be not enough. You know, what I've kind of concluded, Stephen, is that maybe it's random and pointless. I mean, if there was a message, what's the message? And by the way, we're not getting it, that you want to destroy our freedom or upset us doesn't make any sense, even to the senseless people that must be doing this. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the trouble is, you know, to look for sense in madness is the route to madness. And you know, we know, and the Prime Minister here said yesterday that the security intelligence services in London have disrupted 5 credible plots since the Westminster attack on the 22nd of March. So you know, the ones that have got through are the ones that we're seeing. What we do know is that in terms of their planning and the execution of the 3 that have happened in the last 3 months, you know, the attacks are not connected. But we, you know, as the Prime Minister said yesterday, we do think we are experiencing a new trend in the threat we face, as, you know, terrorism breeds terrorism, and perpetrators are inspired to attack not only on the basis of their own carefully constructed plots and years of planning and training, or not even just as lone attackers that are radicalized online, but by copying one another. And that is, of course, I think, one of the great fears for the security services here, is that, you know, the more these things happen, the more they inspire people who already have a twisted ideology to carry out their murderous ways through the cruelest possible means. And the television pictures here over the last 48 hours, I'm sure you have seen them on your networks, are just absolutely horrendous. You know, these are people out on a Saturday evening. I know that area of London very well. I know the concert hall in Manchester where that happened. I know that well. And obviously, I work at Westminster every day. I was inside the House of Commons voting on a piece of legislation that I was, as a minister, taking through the House when that all happened. And, you know, it was horrendous.
How is this impacting the immigration conversation in England then?
No, it's not. And partly because, you know, we haven't yet named those responsible on Saturday night in London, but the the Westminster attack in March and the Manchester attack last month. These are, sadly, and it hurts me even to say it, you know, they are homegrown. You know, they are born here, and they have been radicalized here.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that just, that goes to the heart, doesn't it? That goes to the heart of what it is, the Britishness, that the fact that they were born here.
Is there any conversation when something like this happens? I know I've asked you this before, but I'll ask it again. After something like this, do the people of London rethink guns, police, security, safety, and how you all handle those and protect yourselves?
We discussed this, didn't we? I can honestly say that, you know, we are in the middle of a general election here. That is not the discussion point.
Really?
The discussion point today on the news, for what it's worth, is around police numbers. Now, you know, our opponents will say that our police numbers have gone down, and that is true. But then our counter-extremism and our intelligence security officers' numbers have gone up because policing has changed. And, you know, the famous British Bobby on the beat in the days of Sherlock Holmes is not necessarily cutting it. So I think we need a more sophisticated discussion around the sort of policing and security presence that we have, and that requires different resources. But, you know, are we talking here about routinely arming the British Bobby on the beat? That I can honestly say to you, that is not the discussion. The wider discussion, John, is around, you know, defeating this ideology. It cannot be around military intervention alone. You know, it just simply doesn't work. There is, of course, a place for that, and, you know, ISIL is under great pressure in its homeland through some of the actions that your country is taking, and rightly so. But what we need to do, and the Prime Minister here said this yesterday, is we cannot allow this ideology the safe space it needs to breed. You know, and that is precisely what the internet and the big companies that provide internet services are allowing to happen. And we want, as a government, to work with allied democratic governments to reach international agreements that regulate cyberspace and hound down these people who are allowing extremism and terrorist planning to spread. And we need your president and we need your country to help us there, because obviously, you know, the home of the World Wide Web in so many ways is the United States. So, you know, I should see the hand reaching across the pond from the hopefully, in my case, re-elected British Prime Minister if things go well after Thursday.
You mentioned our president. Obviously, a lot of attention here has been spent on the president's tweets about Sadiq Khan. People in England paying any attention to Donald Trump's tweets?
Yeah, and disappointedly so. The mayor of London is not of my political party, but he is the elected mayor of London. He's the most directly elected political figure in this land, and you know, he is Sadiq Khan, as you know, and he and your president have have crossed swords before.
Yeah,
I've been out knocking doors today, campaigning all day, because that's what you do in an election, here and there. And people have mentioned it. And, you know, I think what people here feel is what I feel, which is that I would have thought your president has enough on his plate without wading into the intricacies of how the mayor of London does his job.
Well, he was so characterizing
In the politest way possible, I think he has not helped. I suspect he was trying to, but I don't think it's really...
Oh, helped. I don't think he was... Here, I'll tell you exactly what our president was doing. He was using your misfortune to as a lever to get some of the policies passed that he wants here. I think it was the worst sort of opportunism, and a lot of us here are embarrassed. We're beyond being shocked, but some of us are just embarrassed.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I guess
you don't have to be polite about this one. This is appalling.
Polite, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, bottom line is, I think he should, you know, rein it in. It's not helpful, and he's probably got enough problems. And, you know, I think the sad thing is that a lot of people here really don't expect anything better from your president right now. So when he makes the kind of interventions that he did over the last few hours on Twitter, people here are just sort of wearily expecting it, but no less disappointed in it. And I just, you know, I try to respect your president because he is your president, he's democratically elected, and we will and we have to work with him. And that's, I say that as a government minister here in the UK as much as anything. But just sometimes I just think you need to think before you tweet. And that's probably a good rule all us politicians should keep in mind.
All of us. Think before you tweet, think before you communicate anyway on any platform, and sometimes it won't go the way you wanted it to. You'll make mistakes. But when he doubled down, it was clear that he had an agenda. And when he calls your mayor this week pathetic, I think that's a guy who isn't thinking at all. And I just want to say this to you, and I know you're short of time, but those are the thoughts and views of our president, but those are not the thoughts and views of the people listening to us in Chicago right now. That's embarrassing, and know that that's not the message we want to send to England.
I mean, if you just imagine the British Prime Minister criticizing the mayor of New York after 9/11, it just would never and did not happen. You know, Tony Blair was on a plane and came over and gave you our unstinting support, and I just think that what he's doing is divisive, and of course that is what these extremists want. They want to divide us, they want to pull us apart and make us argue among ourselves, and anyway, enough, we have given him enough airtime for a thing. But, you know, look, I think the thing is, these events have happened for millennia, and you know, we in Britain are sadly used to living with terror. I mean, obviously we had the IRA's active campaign on British soil for so many years. Did it change the way we lived our lives? Yeah, of course it did. You know, a very simple practical thing was you didn't see waste baskets on the streets of London, and you still don't in many places, because that was a place of choice to put Semtex bombs back in the 1980s. Of course you were cautious and took sensible precautions, but you know, we went to an event last night, a Pentecost event at the cathedral in Winchester, and there were lots of people, and you know, it was a gathering of Christians, and you could have easily thought, well, there were thousands of people there, and you could have thought, well, maybe we shouldn't go, maybe we should stay away.
Yeah.
But that would be the wrong thing to do, and you don't hide your face under a bushel, and you can't lead your lives in fear alone. And if you do that, then, well, the enemy has won, and the enemy has many forms. And at the moment, the enemy in this country is in the form of some Islamic extremism who do not speak for that religion and certainly do not speak for this country.
Yeah. Our best to you. If you can imagine something we can do for you here, let us know.
Say your prayers. Yeah. That's all you can do.
Indeed. Thank you, Steve.
God bless.
And by the way, good luck to you on the upcoming election.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, don't get a vote. Even in Chicago, we don't get a vote. Stephen Bryan is a member of... Well, he said, don't say I'm a member of Parliament because we're not in session right now. And so in the United States, I didn't know this. You would still say I'm a member of Congress. We're not in session right now. He's running for re-election. If he gets re-elected, he will then be able to call himself a member of Parliament again. But as they're not in session and an election is nigh, then he's a member of the party who is running for re-election, but he does not call himself an MP. Didn't know that.